Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi there, you're listening to More Than Potential, the podcast. On the show, we talk about mental health, well-being, and self-improvement. I'm your host, Faith. So today we have a really good episode planned. I'm super excited. I have a good friend of mine, Kiara. She was in another episode. If you guys haven't listened to the episode about Black women dating, definitely go listen to that. It was a great episode and she was one of the guests. So she decided to come back for this topic because this time we're talking about hypergamy and femininity. But let me introduce you to Kiara because some of you probably don't know who she is or if you haven't heard that episode. So Kiara is 22 years old and she lives in Georgia. She recently completed her undergrad and she's doing research about clinical psych programs in her region. She's grateful to be employed and secretly an artist. She loves music, dancing, cooking, etc. She's navigating her 20s with as much patience and grace as she can. She's trying to carve out her own path and enjoy her life in the process. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Kiara.
Hello. Hi. I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad that you came back. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, of course. I'm happy you invited me. I am really excited about the topic at hand. I have a lot of strong opinions, so I'm ready.
Oof, I have chills. So, okay. The reason why I even wanted to do this topic was because I had seen a lot of different YouTube videos about like femininity and how to be like a feminine woman and how to get into a hypergamous relationship or what have you. And so I think it wasn't until I saw that Kevin Samuels became this really big, popular commentator that something clicked for me. And I was like, oh, people really want to hear this kind of content. Like, this is like, this is not just a woman thing. It's also a man thing too. So I think it kind of clicked and I was like, you know what? We should do an episode on this. So I have to bring on a friend of mine because she's very intelligent. So I feel like she would have a lot to say on this topic. Before we jump in, be sure to definitely share this episode. If you like my content, definitely go and rate and review on Apple Podcasts. It's a great way to promote the podcast and make sure other people can see it in the algorithm. It's the best way to support. Tell all your friends. Listen over and over, stream as much as you can, and of course, rate and review. So that being said, I guess we can get started.
I'm ready.
Okay, so I guess my first question, Kiara, I'm just curious. Mm-hmm. Do you define yourself as a feminine woman? And what do you think femininity is exactly?
Well, it's kind of deep. So number one, yeah, I do feel feminine in my body. I feel I'm a very spiritual person. And so like, that's more so where it comes from. It's not really about like outward appearance or anything like that. It's more like essence, you know, like, there are grand energies, there's give and there's take, you know? I feel like as a feminine person, when I'm centering myself, like in my divine feminine, I'm I'm gifted things like from the universe in this way that's natural and it feels like really pure and honest. An example maybe is like, this is gonna sound kind of sexist, but it's like, as a woman, and I'm very independent, I can change my oil, right? But I'm just gonna ask a man to change my oil. Because that's what men do. And they don't have to do that. You're not less of a man because you don't change my oil. But like, if I'm gonna like move about life like in my femininity, I am meant to receive, and that means receiving help. That means giving things and like multiplying them. You know, like you give me ingredients, I can make you a meal. You come to me with, and I hate to use such like traditional examples, but this is in like all types of realms, you know. But yeah, I do define myself as a feminine woman. But I don't think that it's something that has to be for everybody. I don't think that there's anything wrong if you don't feel connected to femininity internally, externally. I'll say like outwardly, I recently started to like really care about how I look. And that's just because I have the time to do so. I don't think that femininity has anything to do with appearance though. But it is like an easy way, especially for men, to see what kind of person you are. But yeah, did I answer both questions?
Oh, I mean, you did. Okay, you cool. Brought up men several times in this, so I was just curious if, like, what is it like to center men around your definition or perception of self? And do you think that you've done this, or do you see other women doing this?
So I was actually having a conversation about that the other day on the topic of jealousy between women. Mm. And I was... someone was telling me how they had a friend who told them that they were jealous of her, and it was because of the way that she felt like men always favored her in a room. Like, let's say they go to a function. The one friend was jealous because the other friend was always receiving male attention. And she started to behave in like a very nasty way towards the other girl because she was jealous of her. And I'm gonna be honest, I don't think that I center men, but men are always in my consciousness. There are some things that I do day to day that have nothing to do with anybody else but me, period. There are some things and some ideas that I have about life and like world order that don't have anything to do with men, period. But I don't think that I personally center men in my interactions. And I think that that's shown through the way that I am with other women. There's never been in my recent life, I'd say the past like 4 years, I haven't had the experience of like, I've never wanted to fight over a man. I've never had the experience of jealousy of a woman, not never, but recently. I've never had the experience of jealousy of the look of a woman or like the essence of another woman in a room, because it's like, for what? Like, what are they receiving? What do they have that I don't have? If I see something on a woman and I like it and I'm not doing it, I'm just going to try it when I go home and I'm going to compliment them because that was beautiful to me. You know what I mean? But I do think censoring men makes you a very sad woman, a sad person. Because first of all, men don't even know what they want, right? They don't really know what they want, and they just say things. And so the bar is constantly moving, and you're constantly chasing it. You know what I mean? And like, I feel like that anyways, with just the way my brain works. Like, I'm constantly like shifting and wondering and trying to figure what direction I need to go in, Meanwhile, there are people, men, telling me how I should be and shouldn't be. I would go and I would be insane if I centered men's opinions in my psychology day in and day out, if I dressed myself for them, if I spoke in a particular manner for them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I'm not gonna lie, I love men, so yeah, I be thinking about them sometimes.
I do. You know, this is already interesting to me because mm-hmm. as someone who's like not straight, I mm-hmm. find it so interesting talking to straight women about this because I think, mm-hmm. you know, with straight women, you have no choice. Like, I really don't think mm-hmm. you have much of an option in the matter. If you find men attractive, there is some aspect of you being cognizant and aware mm-hmm. of how they perceive you and like mm-hmm. how they place or even rank you, as misogynistic as that sounds. Like, a lot of men do participate in that kind of like ridiculous behavior of ranking, and we'll talk about that later. I'll bring it up later, but we'll double back to that. Okay. But also, I think because I am queer, I think that although generally I don't believe it's possible to like distance yourself from the male gaze, I think because of how we're all socialized, even down to the clothes that are available for us to pick to wear for ourselves, a lot of it is designed to center men and men's attractiveness and how we need to be appealing to them. So I think generally that's true. But mm-hmm. when I have discovered that I don't have to date men, that I'm open to dating women, I find that I've become super critical and aware of my own performance. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's real.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even the way that I engage mm-hmm. with men and how I talk and behave and the things I internalize about what men like and what you are and aren't supposed to do, like, mm-hmm. I have, internalized that performance, and it seeps out in every aspect of life, including even, like, my sex life. It's always about what men want, what makes me look desirable and good in the moment.
Right.
Not rocking the boat, not doing too much or doing enough, right. or, you know what I'm saying? And so I think that, like, I don't find myself doing that with women in general, but I do it with men, regardless of if I'm attracted to them or not, which shows that like how deep this goes for some people.
Yeah, definitely. I would like to say as well, like, I am straight. So it's like, I really appreciate that you said, I don't really have a choice. It's like, I could pretend and be like, fuck these niggas. You know, because I do be feeling that a lot of the time. Like, I don't date a lot because I don't feel like I encounter people who can, like, meet me where I'm at psychologically, you know. But, yeah, it's like, but I got to deal with somebody. Like, I can't really be like, fuck these niggas. It's just fuck them niggas. You know what I mean? Like,
fuck all of them but one, you know?
But that one, exactly. Oh, I would also like to touch on what you said about, like, so there was a TikTok. I saw a TikTok the other day, and Shorty was like, there's a difference between, like, queer femme women and like straight femme women, you know.
I saw that TikTok, yeah.
Yeah, and like I was like, oh my god, that's so true. Like, that's so true. Like, when I think about how like men will say things like, I like natural makeup or whatever, and like the way that I like, and it's, but it's so like, I can't tell. I'm not gonna say I can tell when a woman likes women, but there is something about the presentation that is just a lot more like authentic to self, I feel like, you know. And I feel like that's something that is appreciated because it's appreciated by women because women can tell that it's pure. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not queer and I'm not gay, but I can imagine that, like, I would want to be with somebody who has the ability to separate themselves from societal standards, which are very much like male oriented, male gaze type of presentations. Like, cause what's the point of, cause like, who are you doing that for? You know, like, I think it speaks more to, like, who you are as a person and, like, how you're able to, like, navigate your own personal, like, thoughts and opinions and feelings about yourself and how you should present. Anyway, that was kind of a tangent, but I really appreciated that TikTok because I was like, men do see us as porn. Like, that's so true.
No, but you're right, though. Like, I think that just in general, I've found that the way that women show up and present their femininity should be an expression of self. But what ends up happening is when we follow these, like, really, really, like, strict rules about what to do, how to act, how to behave, we all look like mini clones. And so as a Black woman, I know for sure there's only a few different types of archetypes of Black women. And when you find yourself outside of that, people can tell that, okay, well, this person's different. Like, you know, because how do I describe this? This is going to sound so mean, but it's true. Like, with Black women, there's, like, the popular Black girl who has, like, lashes and nails and, like, fake hair. And she has, like, a big butt and she can twerk. Like, those are, like, the Megan Thee Stallions of the community. They're the ones who are the life of the party, the popular Black women. Those are the ones who are seen as the most desirable. You have the whitewashed Black girls. You have the Black girls who are alt or alternative or emo or whatever. And then everybody else. And so I find that people try to get in where they fit in. And based on the standards of femininity, they decide, well, this is the archetype I'm going to embody. But because there's so few, like, there's a limited range of acceptable womanhood, types of womanhood for Black women. I think what ends up happening is if you find yourself outside of that, you have to listen more to yourself and what you desire, what you want, how you want to present your femininity to the world, how you want to express that. And people can tell when it's true to you. And it's usually women and other, like, exactly. Women identifying people who can be like, oh, yeah, that seems more genuine versus, oh, you look like everybody else, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's real. Yeah. That was a good synthesis.
I'm glad you feel that way. There was also something I wanted to touch on that you brought up when we were talking about, like, how we define femininity. I don't know if you've noticed this, but, like, in a lot of these, like, femininity videos, like, on YouTube, it feels like they define femininity as, like, just being in touch with your emotions, and the byproduct of that will be getting a man to desire you. And it's heavy emphasis on desirability. And I find that so frustrating because the stuff that I define as femininity is not gender specific at all.
Totally. I feel that. I feel that heavy. I also feel like there's a big concentration on, like, outward appearance in those videos too. Like, I really try to steer away from, like, taking in too much of that content just because I am a very impressionable person, like, unfortunately. But, like, you know the YouTuber Chrissy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I like to listen to what she says for, like, perspective. But I disagree with a lot of the things that she says, and I agree with a lot of them, but it's, she places so much emphasis on, you were speaking on this earlier in your live when you were talking about, like, she speaks so much to, like, being respectable as a dark-skinned Black woman, like, and it's, there is so many rules and, like, regulations. And it is, like you said, about, like, being in touch with your emotions and, like, doing things that men find feminine and appealing. And then that's how you'll get a man, because that's the goal. And you can pretend like you don't want that, but that's what it is. And you know what I mean? And so it's like, yeah, I agree completely. It's very shallow. I agree. I don't think feminine, masculine, we all have it within us, you know? I feel that.
I think the reason why it's so shallow is because a lot of these women don't get that they're adhering to beauty standards and rules of respectability that are rooted in white supremacy.
That's very true. That's very true. That's another thing. Like, that's literally what a lot of the videos are. It's like, how can I be as close to this white supremacist idea of femininity that I can while still maintaining, like, while still maintaining myself and being who I am. You know what I like? It's soft, it's pink, it's wearing pink and white, like pure colors. You know what I mean? Like having your hair long and done a certain type of way. You know, I agree. It's unfortunate, but it's like, it's the truth, and it's in everything, you know, it's in everything.
I think a lot of those, it's literally in everything. And it's so funny because you mentioned Chrissy. I've watched, I used to really like her content. It's weird. I had a point where I didn't like her when I first heard her stuff. I was like, I don't like her. Something's not ringing true to me. But then I broke down a little bit because I was like, well, maybe she has a point. Maybe, you know, I need to work on my femininity more. I need to grow out my hair. I need to paint my nails and get my nails done consistently. And I need to talk in a baby voice and, you know, be demure and soft-spoken and whatever else. And so I internalized what she was saying because I felt like, well, that's what Black women need to be digestible for people. That is it. And when people would try to critique Chrissy and tell her that this is not accessible to all Black women, like there's plenty of Black women who will never fit into this category that you're trying to create for Black women, she was like chiding them as if they were wrong. But no, they were right. Like there are certain types of Black women that will always be seen as masculine, as inherently ugly or undesirable just because they are fat Black femmes, just because they're trans Black women, just because they're other types that fit too far outside of the range of acceptable types of women for Black women. And I think that she never says this. She makes it seem like, oh, everyone can do this. And that's not true. If femininity was just about desirability, which is a lot of what these women care about, when they talk about femininity, they're really talking about being desirable. It feels like a lot of times it's gotten to the point where they don't consider that desirability is about men seeing the value that you have in this system that is inherently white supremacist and extracting value from you. So your beauty, the currency that you have, the beauty that your currency has, because I believe beauty is a type of currency that gets you access to certain spaces. Totally. So like they will basically say, oh, well, this type of Black woman is skinny enough, is attractive enough, you know, her features are keen enough, her hair is curly enough, she seems like an acceptable Black woman, she's more respectable. But if they see a fat Black femme, they're going to be like, oh, well, I don't know, that she's not fitting in it. It doesn't matter if you wear a cute dress or wear makeup, that you are considered other, you're considered outside of the acceptable range, so you're going to be demonized no matter what you do. But she doesn't say that because then it would completely invalidate half the shit that she says, because you would have to acknowledge that white supremacy is not just like some mystical thing in the air. It's a reality. Exactly. A lot of the things that she says about growing your hair long, that is white supremacist. Yeah. It just is. Some of the stuff, I'm like, this is literally the idea that we are competing with white women on their terms. We got to have long hair, be a size 2 with no big boobs and a big butt, which didn't used to be a thing, but I guess now it is. You get what I'm saying? I'm going on a rant.
No, I totally get what you're saying. And I have the exact same relationship with her content. Like, that's what I was saying about me being impressionable. Like, I try to steer clear because it's like some things that are said are true. And like, if I want to play the game, right? Like, if I want to participate in the gameplay of white supremacy in America and society, I can easily understand why it would make sense to like do the things that they're saying that I should be doing to be accepted in society. Do you know what I mean? But it's like, as you said, and it, primarily for me, it was that piece about weight that she consistently was talking about in this manner that's like, you should just lose weight. And me being a heavier set person, I've always have been a heavier set person. Like, it's not really just you lose weight. Like, you have to heal. You have to heal first, and you have to care enough about yourself to want to treat your body correctly. You know what I mean? And so she's, like you just said, half the things that she said, says are invalid because they're missing a whole point. Like, you should be, if your purpose here is to elevate and to empower dark-skinned and black women, the first thing we have to do as a community of women, we have to heal. Like, we have to. Everything else falls into place when you give yourself the space to heal. And she never speaks on anything like this in her content. She never does. I mean, maybe once or twice she has, but it's very much like you said, let me talk in a baby voice and let me paint my nails and all this other stuff that she's constantly telling you that you should be doing. I agree with everything you just said. Yeah, I really do. And that's honestly, sorry to keep going, but it's like, that's honestly like my whole issue with like black femininity content, like on the internet. It's not genuine, and it's predatory. You're selling people dreams. As you said, there are just some people who are not ever going to be acceptable, even if they follow every single quote unquote rule that you're giving them to the T. Somebody is still going to clock them. And beyond that, they're going to clock them because they are who they are and because they're trying. People hate seeing people that they don't like try too hard. They're so ready to belittle somebody for trying to fit in, you know? Like and that speaks even further to the point. You don't fit in. Why are you trying to fit in? Like, what's wrong with you? Are you dumb? You know, you're not, like, it's... That's the mentality that some people have about other people. So yeah, I completely agree with that point of just some people aren't going to fit in this very, very tiny box. And it's, again, predatory to pretend as though that's possible for everybody.
You know? I agree. It's really predatory because it's preying on black women's emotions for mm-hmm. wanting to be desired and accepted. Like, black women who are straight specifically want to feel like men value them. And so the only way they can think about doing this is to do what they see everybody else doing as if we're gonna get the same results. Well, we typically and historically have not. Like, you're demanding, you know, men buy you a Birkin bag and like treat you with this like sort of like this lavish lifestyle that none of us have access to. Most of us don't have access to at all. Mm-hmm. And that's how you can decide if a man loves you. Like, oh, is he willing to spend $300 on a dinner date? Is he willing to buy me really expensive items? And if you want that kind of treatment, then guess what you have to do? If you want this like patriarchal man to give you those things, you need to live up to his expectations. And these men have expectations. Their expectation is for you to be the prototype. You need to be feminine woman. You don't get to have a personality. You need to be exactly what they expect for you to be. Have long hair, be an acceptable size. Your features got to be right. Your hair got to be right. It's all got to be right. You have to present yourself, even the way you act and treat men, as if you give deference to them just for being men.
Exactly.
You have to be soft. You have to be demure. You have to talk a certain way. And you have to have sex. You have to fuck a certain way. It's all about playing the game of patriarchy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's one of my biggest problems with femininity and hypergamy in general. And we'll talk a little bit about hypergamy, but it's just like, it's all about patriarchy at the end of the day, because these women know they're performing and competing for a certain type of man. They're not exactly. trying to get just any dude. They're not just trying to have love. They don't think love really exists, not for them as full human beings. They don't really believe that. They got to perform to get it. They got to work hard to get it. And that's part of the insidiousness of all this, is that it's preying on black women's insecurities about being worthless, about being undesirable and not having any value. And we're telling them you can purchase your value with bundles of hair and lashes and nails, and you can perform your way into respectability enough for a man of high value to notice you. And maybe he'll rescue you. Maybe he'll save you from your miserable life where you come from nothing and everything will be fine. But most people fail. So that shows either it's just not realistic for everyone, or it's a really shitty system, or there's just a bunch of losers and only a few people are winners. And I think that we all look at the few people like Chrissy who claims to be some certain type of person because We all want to win. And if one of us wins, we think it's a win for everybody. No, it's a win for her. It's a win for people like her.
Yes, it is. Exactly. It totally is. It totally is. I love that. That's so accurate and true. It's, and I was having that conversation recently as well, like about Black business and just, you know, Black people all together. Like, we're like, we've been trained to like view a win for one of us as a win for all of us, and that's just not the case. Like, my individual life has nothing to do with Chrissy's life. Like, I'm happy for her if she has a husband and she's happy and he pays for things for her and she has a nice ring on her finger. That's beautiful for her. That don't mean shit for me. That don't mean shit for me because I'm not her, you know? She's the only person that is who she is, right? So it's like you're saying, I have examples, I have evidence. You have a lived experience, but that's it. You know what I mean? Just because you're telling people that they should do the things that you did, or that you're telling them that you did these things and that's how you came to live the life that you desired for, that doesn't mean that it's that for everybody else. And on the part about love, right, people do not believe in love. People do not believe in love. And that's a crippling way of going about life, I personally think. I try to center love like in a lot of my interactions with other people. And I receive a lot of like, I feel sometimes that people are uncomfortable with me. Even like my close friends, you know, are just uncomfortable with me because like I love to hold hands, you know, like I frequently say to people in my life that I care about, that I love them, you know. And I think people, like, fundamentally have the desire for such. Even if you don't believe it, you still desire for it. And like you said, so if I do all these things that make me lovable, maybe somebody will treat me like they love me. Maybe they won't love me, but they'll treat me like they love me. Like you said, they'll rescue me from my miserable life. So on and so forth. Yeah, I agree completely. I agree completely with everything you just said.
So what are your feelings about hypergamy? Because I think like the two are kind of like aligned in a lot of ways, because femininity is just the action, the performance that they're doing to get something. And the result is probably like a man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Typically, it seems like the result is that the way that you can know you're really a feminine woman and that you've won is to get the ring, to get the man. So, I mean, how do you feel about hypergamy, and what are some of the things that you've been noticing?
So, I feel like it's realistic. It's a really realistic way of going about life as a woman. I mean, it's logical, like, it just makes sense, right? Like, especially for Black women, we have been, you know, we all know what the hierarchy looks like. We know where our placement is on it. So it just makes sense to desire for a partner who can, I don't want to say the word elevate, who can pull us up and out of that placement to a certain degree by, you know, standing adjacent to them. But it's hypergamy as a concept is really like hard for me to support fully. I support women doing whatever they want to do as long as they're not hurting anybody else. But I just, like we were speaking on in the beginning of this conversation, it's such a male-centered way of living your life. Number one, to believe that, like, you have to be partnered at all, right? Like, in a monogamous relationship or, you know, a different style, but just, like, you have a primary partner. And then number two, that it does have to be a man. And then beyond that, that he needs to be in a certain type of position in order to be like worthy of your time and your space. Like I have, that's like my biggest problem with it. I understand wanting to be with somebody who is like you, but it's just too classist. I can't really handle it, actually. It's so devoid of empathy, the concept of it, and devoid of love, in my opinion. I'm not taking anything away from how much it makes sense to participate in hypergamy, to want to date up. I'm not taking anything away from that. I'm just saying, like, what's your purpose? Like, what's your purpose in doing so outside of materials, right? Because if you're in a situation where you don't have, like, food and a house to live in, like, you can go, like, figure it out. Unfortunately, we have to work, right? But you can do that. You can get some food and a place to live. You don't have to have a man to do that for you. You know, it's just like, it honestly feels kind of like, I don't want to say it like this, but like, you know, like victim mentality. Mm-hmm. I feel like it just off rip places women in this status of like victimhood, like we can't do for self. We don't have the capacity to do for self. And like, we need someone who's going to do more for us because we can't do it for ourselves. But it makes sense. It does make perfect sense to want to be with a man who can elevate you. That's what they would say. To elevate you, a high value man who can elevate you and give you the life that you desire for. It makes perfect sense. And it's not something that I don't, you know, completely, or that it's like a taught thing. So it's something that I think about often, like, and it's natural to me to like think that way. Like, I'm talking a lot right now, but it's like in my day-to-day life, like, yeah, of course I want to be with a man who has some money.
I mean,
of course.
For me, I gotta be honest, though. Well, you said a lot of things that I feel like are really important. Like, the first is that, yeah, I feel like when we talk about what is natural, I feel like that is such a hard thing to identify. Because everyone claims that the things that we're doing are natural. It's only biological. It's only this. And I'm like, is it? Is some of this natural, or is it just socialized? Mm-hmm. Yes, women are socialized to want certain things in partners, but the fact that the narrative is that women are socialized to want men who make the most money is ridiculous. Like, sure. Previously, women have always desired physically certain things, and I think biologically that our body chemistry responds to certain people that we find attractive. Mm-hmm. So that's why it would explain why you could think someone's great on paper, but in real life, there's no real connection. There's no chemistry. You don't want them to touch you. Right. That is a biological argument that you can make, because your pheromones got to do the thing in order for y'all to even be wanting to talk to each other again.
True.
But when we talk about how it's only natural for women to seek out men who make a lot of money, that's not inherently money itself is not natural. When we look at societies where women have been hypergamous, and I'll have to talk about what hypergamy really is, like, because I think there's a lot of confusion about what we really mean when we say that. But societies that have had women that were hypergamous, women were doing this out of necessity. It wasn't like, oh, it's only natural. It was because the forces at play in that society made it very difficult for women to do much else. So they needed to get power by proxy, which I like to say is to get some sort of status or financial security via the man,
right,
not
exactly.
For themselves, not by themselves. So those were the types of societies that I feel like women were probably the most hypergamous, because they had to be. It was a matter of survival. But I wouldn't say that's natural, because nothing about that society is inherently natural necessarily. It's a man-made society, a construct around what the social issues of that time or the cultural attitudes of that time. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing, when we talk about hypergamy, when I say it at least, I mean like I'm thinking hypergamy is a way to quote unquote level up your socioeconomic status. Now, getting with someone who makes more money than you is not the same as getting with someone in a different class than you. You feel me?
I do.
So, to me, I'm already like, guys, like, if we're Black women, I'm assuming that we probably make less than a lot of people. So, it's not hard to find someone who makes more money than us. Mm-hmm. Reasonably speaking, I would say that that's the case. But what people are actually suggesting is, like, not that. But that they can be a millionaire, get with a millionaire mm-hmm. when you came from abject poverty. Or you're lower middle class and you think you can get mm-hmm. with somebody making over six figures. And I'm like...
Yeah.
How?
I feel it. How, number one, right? And number two, for what, right? Not for what, but like, to what end? Like, I don't know. It's the way I feel about money personally. I recognize the necessity of it. But I'm really not a materialistic person. Like, I don't really care about, like, clothes. Especially, like, clothes and shoes and stuff like that. Like, it just doesn't... These types of things don't really... Like, stuff... Like, the way... Okay. I'm talking all over myself. But just the way that I was raised. We didn't really do that. Like, my parents didn't really do that. And I had no problem with it. It wasn't until, like, we moved to the suburbs... And, like, I saw people, like, desiring for things and, like, wanting things and, like, focusing on having that I was like, oh, okay, like, this is a way to live. This is the type of way that people live their lives, you know? So on the topic of hypergamy, it's difficult for me to, like, wrap my head around the concept completely because I don't really understand it, like, the way that you're speaking of it. And in a case of me being, like, a regular person, like, I work a full-time job, but they don't pay me that much money. Like, I'm comfortable in my own lifestyle, but, you know, and it, like, a person like me desiring to be in a relationship, in a partnership with a millionaire, like, when is, like, for, I don't, it's hard for me to, it sounds like a movie, like, it sounds fake. You know what I'm saying? Like, it sounds like... I can't imagine that anybody actually thinks that that's, like, real thing. Like, a real life to desire for, if that makes any sense. I definitely think about hypergamy in a way where it's just like, okay... Or I'm considering what you're saying now, that that's what they're meaning. Like, totally, like, changing their whole entire life in a completely different way. Like... social mobility. But I it's hard. I can't really, because where does that idea come from? Like, where are they getting that idea from to do something like that, you know? Or to want that for themselves?
Well, two things. I guess, first of all, we have to acknowledge that if you are not a millionaire, you're probably not going to even see the purpose of getting with someone who's a millionaire mm-hmm. because you have nothing in common. Mm-hmm. So I could see why you would say, like, well, what is the point of that? Like, for what? Like, why do I want to have someone who makes all this money? I'm comfortable where I'm at. I kind of just want someone who's comfortable with where they're at, and we can call it a day. A lot of people are like this. They don't see the need to get with someone in a different socioeconomic class. Like, there's no real purpose to it other than, like, maybe vanity or ego, right? Yeah. Like, most people tend to pair with someone who's on their level, just in general. Mm-hmm. So, like, a shooting above or below where you're at doesn't make much sense for most people. And it's not really as feasible. But anyway, and then the second thing is, I feel like with hypergamy, too, Black women specifically, this is why I think it's all about white supremacy. They're looking at white women and they're like, yep, white women are hypergamous. We need to be hypergamous. And it's like, well, mm-hmm. that's not all white women, though. The majority of white women are not hypergamous.
That's true.
They're not. They're just financially stable. I think black women, because they don't have an understanding about how the system works or even what women are doing, because they just looking up from the outside, looking in, they can't even get inside the club. You know what I'm saying? They're looking at other people, and it's like, oh, well, this white woman, they're hypergamous. The majority of white women are not hypergamous. The majority of white women are marrying people who are financially stable. What you're observing are regular, degular white women getting with regular, degular white men. It just so happens that those white men are financially stable due to legacies of racism and prejudice in this country. They have a leg up over black men. So they can get with the average white man and it'd be fine with them. That's why you'll see a school teacher with an engineer. It's not because she's leveled up. It's because they were both middle class. They're both working professionals. One just happens to make more money than the other, but they're technically in the same socioeconomic strata for the most part. That's how they even met in the first place. An engineer is not some crazy rich person. Most of them are very regular, degular folks. These are working class, white collar people. So to me, it's like they think like, oh, white women need to be hypergamous to have a stable lifestyle. The majority don't. All they'll do is get with a basic dude who makes good money, someone that they think is achievable, and they get to be stay-at-home moms. They don't have to be hypergamous to get that. But I don't think black women see this. They think of the crazy success stories.
Like fantasy. It's a fantasy. Like, that's really how I'm thinking of it. Like, to put it in such a, like, to put it that way, like, somebody like me, somebody, like, very much living a regular life, you know, like, to desire for someone who makes millions of dollars, like, has millions of dollars, is, what? Like, you're saying, like, it's a puzzle, or it's a line, a straight line, and they're missing, like, a really fat chunk in the middle. Like, I don't understand why they think that I don't understand why that's a topic of conversation, number one, in our community. And number two, I don't understand where it came from. Like, who started that? Like, who decided that?
I think that just in general, and this is what I was going to touch on this anyway, but I think that, I don't know who started it, but I think black people have always been obsessed with hierarchies in general. Yeah. And you brought up hierarchies, but I thought that was so important because I think that when we as black people have to exist in this system, we find ways to cope and get by. And for some people, a lot of women need the hope of the fantasy coming true for them to cope with the reality of their situation. And so they have to obsess over who's clocking who, how you rank. And Kevin Samuels plays a role in this too. That's why I feel like Chrissy and Kevin Samuels are the same person. They're just one speaking to women and one speaking to men. Because literally Kevin Samuels is only saying the same thing that Chrissy is saying, but to men. He's basically saying, hey men, like, how do you rank? He literally has a live stream where he's going in on black men and being like, how do you rank amongst all other races of men? What is your bank account like? What is your education like? What is your social economic status like? What's your resume? Is your resume 3 pages? What have you done with your life? And he was telling men that they have to work 60 plus hour work weeks to get ahead. Like, he was giving them advice about how to supposedly make it in this system. And I couldn't help but feel like these people are so obsessed with leveling up and getting a better place or position in the hierarchy. They're just trying to get by. And so they have to study this shit, create content to adapt and change their entire personality so that they can even get a piece of the pie. Meanwhile, there's people like us wondering, why can't we just make our own pie? Why can't we just like...
Yeah, I'm like, what pie? Like, I don't even like pie. Like, yeah, it's hard for me. It's really hard for me to think that people think of this like... This is like, these are people's thoughts like day in and day out. Like, what can I do to have some of this imaginary pie that I don't even know actually exists or not. Like, I just heard it exists and it might taste good. It might be gross, but I just want to see it for myself. Like, I don't understand. I understand, but I can't put myself in that position to speak from like a place of empathy is what I'm meaning when I'm saying that. I can't rationalize it. I really can't. But I agree with the point of Kevin Samuels and Chrissy being the same person, like focusing so much on like outward, Like, he calls himself an image consultant, doesn't he? Like, what does that even mean? Like, an image consultant. Like, and I've heard him speak, I've heard a little bit of his content, like, speaking to men. And, like, the and then it's really, for me, it breaks my heart, because it's like, I'm not about to put myself in a position where somebody is just, like, critiquing me in my life for however long, because for, no, I don't need that. And it's like, why do you think you need that? Like, why are you coming to Kevin Samuels to give you advice about how you should live your life, or how you should, like, move onward in your life to, again, taste a little bit of this imaginary pie, you know? And again, it always comes back to the predatory nature of it all, right? Because white supremacy as a concept is predatory. It's colonialism, right? And it's like, I am frustrated by the idea of it, because it's like, why do we keep reiterating the same concept in different forms? Like it's hard for me to even have conversations with people about certain things, because it's like, you don't even know that you're colonized still internally. Like, you've made no effort toward decolonizing yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that I'm perfect and that I've done all the work. I haven't. But I've done a little bit. Like, enough to know that, like, the pie probably doesn't exist. Like, you're saying, like, white people have money. White women just, like, are adjacent to them enough to get in with them and have a little bit more than what they would have had. It's not for us. And, like, why is, not why, because you can't answer the question. I feel like pain and frustration in my heart, considering the fact that black women cope with their current reality by focusing on, like, what other realities, like, what it could be. I don't know, it feels really, I said this in the last episode, but it feels like really dismal. The whole of it just feels quite pointless.
No, I understand what you mean. Like, I think as someone who used to be, like, really attracted to that kind of content, I think the problem was that I wanted so desperately to win. Like, I wanted to feel like I was valid as a human being, because I felt like my entire life I wasn't seen, and I was, like, constantly on the losing end. You know, people are always saying black women at the bottom of the totem pole, and it's very clear from day one that that is the hierarchy. So I'm like, the only thing I can do to get by is to win. You know, people say black women are ugly, I'm going to be considered feminine and attractive. If people say black people are poor, I'm going to make a lot of money. If people say black women are not desirable, I'm going to get a man, and he's going to be the most desirable of them. Like, I wanted to prove people wrong about black women and wrong about me. And I realize now that's giving someone far too much control over what you are doing. Like, if you live your life to be in opposition to something, like, in opposition to, like, an idea or a stereotype, you fucked up somewhere. Like, you're doing it wrong.
Exactly. It's like that whole idea of, like, if you're constantly focusing on, like, how to, like, be content instead of, like, you'll never be content if you're always focusing on how to be content. Like, just be content, you know?
I think it's hard. It's such a complicated issue, though, because it's hard for black people, especially in this time. We're in a global pandemic and people are struggling financially. There's a lot going on for us to, there's no one is happy. No one is safe. No one is content. We are all struggling. And I think that it's not a surprise that so much of this has become about survivalism for a lot of women, specifically black women. Like, they think their survival is contingent upon the man that they attach themselves to, so much so that they won't even consider that they don't have to attach themselves to a man at all. Exactly. And I think that it's a financial imperative, ultimately, at the end of the day. Like, And it's so sad because I know this is about economics. I know it's like Black people are just broke. Like, we're just poor.
We're just poor.
We can end the conversation. We're Black people are just poor. Like, it's fine. It's really fine.
It's like, we should just be happy. Because it doesn't matter. We should just try to be happy in our poorness. I mean, because we have to be. No, I'm so serious, though. Because, like, somebody has to be poor for people to be rich. Who's going to do it instead of us? No offense to us. But it's like, we've been here forever. We've been here forever. And like you were saying, like, I lost it. But you were saying, we're so focused on, like leveling up and, like, just the having what they have. It's not for us. It's about, like, connecting to spirit. At the end of the day, it's about connecting to who you are. Like living and being in your, like, fullness as a person. I can't really relate to it because I think I'm a little bit too far gone, really, to, like, empathize with that mentality of it's important to have. Just to have. Not for any purpose or for any reason, but to have. It's so, what's the word? It's so, like, it's like puppetry. It's like it's so of the Matrix. Like, it's so, well, of course people do that, of course. Like, I can't even like step inside of it to do that with you, if I'm being honest.
I think there's some people who are naturally, I think from what I hear you're saying, a lot of this is about consumerism. Like, mm-hmm. the idea to have something just to have it, to mm-hmm. have excess just to have it, like, no particular reason. We have all these desires and wants and things that it's like we're constantly feeling unfulfilled because this, like, part of the Matrix is, like, constantly wanting so many things that you don't have. And you will always feel like it's never enough. And that's part of capitalism, too, is, like, this feeling like you have to hoard wealth and hoard money, that you can never, ever make enough money. You can never have enough things. There will never be enough. There's no end to it. I don't think everyone can relate to that. I mean, I can relate to it because, like, mm-hmm. I guess my family has always been more on the superficial end. But mm-hmm. as I got older, I realized that, like, literally, it was making me sick. Like, physically mm-hmm. ill. Trying to consume so much all the time, like, but that's a whole other episode talking about consumerism and addiction.
It's all related, though. It really is all related.
It you know what, though? No, but wait, hear me out mm-hmm. though. That's probably the reason why femininity has caught on, because it's about consuming something. Like, mm-hmm. when I talk about femininity, I specifically mean intuition, strategy, like, I believe that, like, femininity ultimately is, like, what you were saying about receiving. I think mm-hmm. allowing things to come into your life and not being, like, so forceful about it, because exactly. sometimes people try to make things happen for themselves. Mm-hmm. For themselves, like, when we really, really want something, try to make it happen. I think someone with more feminine energy allows things to come and go as they please, and you have, like, this trust that what is for you will happen for you. Exactly. And using your intuition and spirituality to have, you know, to guide yourself on this path. Like, it's not about reason always or logic or facts. Exactly. It's just about being in tune with your spirit and with yourself. And so it's not just about emotion. It's also about not suppressing that part of yourself that knows what you really desire, what you truly want. Mm-hmm. But I think that we get away from that into the performance, because then you can sell people things. Exactly. You can sell people hair and nails and
makeup. Or a book about how to, you know.
Like, a course on how to be feminine.
Exactly. Exactly.
$1,000 course, girl.
To be who you are, right? Like, to be yourself at the end of the day. Like, it's not a secret. There's no secrets. Like, what is the secret that you're selling? And people don't even have enough awareness of self to consider that, like, they know, like you said, like, you know, we know. Intuitively, we know things. Like, sometimes I just be knowing, and I'm like, dang, like, I knew that. You know what I mean? Like, that we have it in us. It's in us already. But like you were saying, like, we can consume something. We can buy some hair. We can buy some lashes, some lip gloss, something sparkly and pink, you know? Like, it's crazy to me that people are still living like this, if I'm being honest. I'm hoping for in the future. I think that's part of my life purpose, is like bring people to awareness within their bodies, within like being aware, number one, that they're in a body, right? And then like aware of like what's going on in their body.
But they're not. I think that I agree with you. Okay, there's a lot to say, but I will say this, keep short and sweet. Yes, I think that this pandemic was a perfect opportunity for class consciousness just in general.
Right.
Like, just in general, I feel like seeing how the rich have gotten massively wealthy off of our quite literal suffering and exploitation in 1 year alone. So that should have been enough. When we think about what happened with the Wall Street bankers and like that subreddit where people were basically just doing, I forgot what they did, but I feel so uneducated. I know what they did. I'm just having a hard time articulating it. But either way, you know what I'm talking about. The Wall Street brokers, Reddit, they were gaming the system, basically. And so seeing all this stuff play out has helped me realize there is a level of class consciousness that people are getting about just how fucked up the system is. But there's also a group of people, and I think that this might be the more sizable population right now, who are like, wow, things are really bad. The economy is terrible. Political upheaval. But because of all of these things, I'm not going to be class conscious. I'm going to figure out how to win in the system. And I may lose. I'm actually probably likely to lose, but I'm going to try my chances at the lottery to see if I can win. I think the fact that there's so many people who are engaging in this kind of shows you just how bad income inequality is. The fact that women are like, forget love, forget romance, forget any of that. I need to get with a man who can provide for me. No, I don't care about literally anything else at this point because it's about my survival. Like, that shows you just how bad things are. Like, things are so insecure. People are not starting families like that. They're not being able to move out and start their lives. And people are, you know, going bankrupt and losing their jobs. Like, clearly, this would have been the time, but people are like, I need to survive.
I guess.
Honestly, a lot of people are barely making it. Like, I think in a lot of ways, like, I think it's not even just, like, financially, it's also emotionally. Like, we go into a whole other topic, but all I'll say is the concept of safety and how safety is a psychological response. I feel like people generally don't feel safe right now. Like, even people who are financially not doing bad are still feeling very unsafe. And so I think that leads people to think that maybe if they can do something, get with a person, date a millionaire, you know, get whatever, that they can feel safe. They can feel secure. But that's not the reality. I agree with you. Some of these people are being hypergamous and they want to do these things because they feel like it's going to get them security. But I just have a different perspective because my family went through this.
Yeah.
You can get with a man who makes six figures. You can be that perfect hypergamous feminine woman with long hair, who's super skinny, church-going woman, loves the Lord, amen. And you still don't get the security that you were promised because America's fucking predatory, and exactly. One day you can wake up and not have any of that shit. Exactly. Like, that's the reality.
That you bring up, like, your family, because my dad actually, we were having a conversation, and he told me when he met my mother that he saw her at a party, and he walked up to her, and he said, I have $4. but you're a beautiful woman. And my mom was like, that's okay. Just buy me some crystals. And he bought her some crystals. And, like, that's what I'm from. Like, that's what I'm of. Like, that's how my people think about stuff, you know? It's like, I didn't grow up, like, poor, but, like, but I was very comfortable with what I had, you know? And so, again, that's why it's kind of hard for me to even, like, have the empathy with the mindset, because it's just so far. It's just so far away from me. It's really far away from my nurturing, I guess. Nature. Yes. I mean, and I do think what you were saying earlier about nature and it not necessarily being natural. I understand what you're saying in that, but it's like if we look at money as safety and security and protection, like I feel like it's quite natural as a woman to desire for that from a male partner. Just in this way, and I don't want to like talk out of my ass, but I do feel like there's some biological element to that. Like women seek protection from men, like in natural order, like men seek the same thing from us, but like physical protection, like we seek that, and money is physical. It's you can touch it, and it's like it's an iteration of that in my brain, that women seek that. Hypergamy exists because it's kind of like a thing that has always occurred. You know what I mean?
I don't think hypergamy has actually always occurred, or that it's always naturally occurring. Like, I would have to do a lot more research on this, but from what I understand, it's not the case. Like, that's why I say a lot of it is like, we need to really decolonize what we think about what human beings are capable of and what we would naturally do. Because when I think about protection and feeling safe, like this whole idea of safety, listen, I saw this TikTok, it had me shook. I said, dang, safety as a psychological response. That really made, that took me somewhere. But I was like, you know what? That it kind of makes sense though, because I feel as though, what would it take for a woman to feel safe? Is it just about financial security? Some of it is about financial security. But a lot of people can provide for you and put money and put food on the table. You know what I'm saying? They can put food on the table. If you're really concerned about your personal needs being met, you don't even need a man to do that.
True.
Most women don't need a man to do that. So when they're talking about, oh, you know, I want a man to be financially secure, I'm like, well, of course, because you want someone like yourself. Right. But when we talk about feeling safe in relationships, it is far beyond just the financial capacity. There's a lot of things that go into that. And so I feel like for me, the fact that we're like, it's only natural for women to seek this, I'm like, well, that's not in the modern, and especially since this stuff has evolved over time, maybe there was a point where women felt like because they could not do anything else, like they didn't have jobs, they couldn't have careers or do anything, they were just at the house. So obviously they have no rights. They can't really read or write. They just need somebody for survival. Now that we don't need men for survival, on a most basic level, the idea that women are like, I'm seeking security and safety in a man feels so flawed, because that is not the lived experience for women. So it's like, that's why I really am starting to understand more why theorists are saying safety is a psychological response, because women feel psychologically safer with men, knowing that that's not really the case. But there is something conditioned in us to make us think that if we have a man in the home, we are somehow safer. If we get his money, we're somehow safer. But a lot of us are still subject to that financial abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, what have you, from these men that we are trained to feel safe around, only in a specific context, because every other man we're afraid of. See how that doesn't make sense? Like, how is it that we are told to be afraid of men?
That made perfect sense, everything you just said.
We're told to be afraid of men, but then seek out their desirability to then get with a man that we think is going to suddenly treat us different than every other woman.
That's what I was saying earlier, like, fuck these niggas, except that one nigga. Right. But that don't make no sense, though. It don't. It really don't make no sense. Things that I'm going to think about in the shower. I'm going to think about this all day. Like, you're exactly right. It is, I don't really feel safer with men. I desire for safety from men. I don't really feel safer. And then, like, if I can consider, like, the impact that, like, you have to consider, like, the impact that, like, our parental relationships have, you know, on how we go about living with other people. And, like, the relationship that I have with my father, like, I desire for safety, maybe, from other men, because I feel like that's what I desire for from my father, you know? Like, and I feel like maybe I always didn't feel safe. I felt safe a lot, but maybe I didn't always feel safe. And it's, like, a psychological response to my past, you know? Like, 5-year-old me is like, oh, where's dad, you know? My dad was, like, downstairs. I just didn't know. And so I'm worried. And now I want. And now I'm like, oh, my God, my dad isn't always going to be there. And now I'm going, like, throughout my life with my inner child, like, where's your dad? Like, where's the safety? Where's the comfort? Where's the protector? That's crazy.
You know what, though? Weirdly, that safety is not on a financial sense. On a most basic fundamental level, when you're a child, it's the emotional connection, that feeling of being safe that we're seeking. Exactly. And so I feel like a lot of women today are seeking that safe place in a man, like that feeling that you can be truly comforted by him and that you feel understood, and he's not a threat to you. That is what we're seeking.
Yeah, and I feel like I've been taught that men show love through, like, giving you things and, like, money. Providing for you financially, like, that's like very much, if a man spends money on me, that's something that I feel like he's doing it because he wants to show up for me and wants to provide for me, provide and keep me safe. But it's not real. It's not really real. That's crazy to think about.
I just want to say thank you for coming onto the show. I really appreciate it. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to, you know, leave us with? Any particular golden nuggets of wisdom?
Be yourself, you know. Meditate. It's okay. You have everything inside of you already. You don't need anything else. Except, you know, the basics, food, shelter, water. That's it. Just live your life and make the choice to be happy if you can.
I agree. I think that for a lot of women, we need to do some more thinking, right, about why we feel so compelled to show that we're feminine, real women in a very specific way. Perhaps doing a little bit of reading, maybe, on the sort of beauty standards that exist in America and why it was specifically meant to be exclusionary to women like you and a trans woman. It was meant to be that way. And you don't feel like a real woman and you don't feel feminine for a reason, you know? Like, it's for a reason. It's to take advantage of your insecurities, your manufactured insecurities, to then sell you things. So, like, please think about that, like, really internalize that there are always people who are going to profit from your insecurities and the things that you are embarrassed about when it comes to yourself. And if your desirability, I always say to Black women that, like, your focus should not be about desirability necessarily, because Black women are attractive. This is not about you being ugly. It's about people feeling that you don't have value. Because the system is dehumanizing, and that is the problem. Don't look at men and be like, well, this man did not pay me attention because he does not see value in me, and think that you can perform your way out of that. You cannot. That person is dehumanizing you because you're a Black woman. Let it ride. Like, there's nothing you can do about that. You shouldn't even be thinking about them because their opinion is not important. Stop focusing on being desirable to men. Start focusing on getting power for yourself to change your situation in the system. And learn to love yourself, you know? It's a lifelong journey, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's gonna be a lifelong thing, but I think if you spend more time focusing on you, decentering men and your politics and in your personal life, focus on you and what you want, you will be much happier, you'll have more money, and you'll be less stressed. But that's just my 2 cents.
That was good. That was good 2 cents.
Thank you. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on the show. As always, it has been a pleasure. So, guys, thank you so much for listening to the episode. If you want to catch the next episode next Tuesday, stick around. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and share. Share it with your friends. And of course, be sure to rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts so it can help us grow and spread the word about the show. So, thank you for listening, everyone. I hope you have a fantastic day.